Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer and I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon, and we pray that you are encouraged, challenged, and ultimately that you are drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, good morning. Have you enjoyed a great summer? I hope so. Yeah, that's great. So this summer here, we've been preaching and teaching through the book of Proverbs, which, as you probably know by now, is one of the wisdom literature books in the Bible. And so the series we have entitled Wise Up. And Proverbs is as the Bible Project video says, practical skills for living well in God's world. Now, if you haven't yet taken a peek at that Bible Project video, I encourage you to do that. I've attached the link if you're online just before. It's such a good overview, gives a bit of context, so I'd encourage you to do that. Or you can just Google Bible Project Proverbs overview and you can find that as well. Now, today's talk is no exception. Today, too, we're talking about very practical life applications based on a phrase in Proverbs that you're probably familiar with. Have you ever heard the expression, guard your heart? Yes, you've heard it? Sure. Likely if you've been in a Christian setting for any time, any length of time, you've heard the phrase. It's very often part of our Christianese or our Christian lingo. And there are lots of interesting phrases besides that one that we, like Christians, like to shoot off. So watch this.
Bless his heart. I think he's backsliding.
I think I saw him drink.
Yeah, but in moderation.
I just wasn't seeing much fruit.
He's going down a slippery slope.
How's your heart, man?
How's your heart?
I'm just such a words guy.
It was a total God thing. I'm blessed. I've been working on my testimony.
Is that secular music?
We're opening with a secular song tonight.
Wait, is this a secular song? Isn't she secular?
Which station's the fish?
104.3, the fish. Safe for the whole family. You know he's a believer. I think he's saved.
I just pray you would give him traveling mercies. Mm. Pray for all Tyler's unspokens.
Mm. Echo that.
Just really like to echo Tyler's prayer, Father. I echo that echo of my echo of his echo.
I really feel like I'm being released from this, you know?
I'm trying to be relevant. I'm just trying to be in the world, not of it. Hey, do you want to join our small group? You want to join my D group? You want to join my cell group? Community group? Access group? Accountability group? Acts 27 group?
Dude, he brought it.
He brought the word. That service last night rocked me.
They're pretty purpose-driven.
Yeah, it's Seeker. Don't they do Seeker service there?
I feel like he's gotten really watered down.
I don't feel like he really teaches the word.
There's not enough meat, you know?
Are they non-denom? We have a great Wednesday night supper.
Let's invite some dudes over and fellowship tonight. We're gonna have a sweet time of fellowshipping tonight.
Dude, we had the sickest fellowship last night. We're going to Extreme.
Velocity.
Ignite.
Yeah, I'm going to Ignite.
The Edge.
The Dive.
The Bridge. The Ramp.
Fire.
Courageous. Passion. Echo. Reverb.
Noise.
Velocity. Drive.
Elevate.
Radiate.
722.
635.
419.
Orange.
Blue.
Yellow. Green. Clear. Neon.
Catalyst conference this year.
I don't do that because I feel like it ruins my witness.
I've been struggling with that.
I'm really wrestling with that. I'm wrestling with a doubt.
I need someone to hold me accountable.
I'm really trying to be intentional with her. I'm pursuing her for sure. I'm trying to guard her heart.
Guard her heart though, bro.
Will you hold me accountable to that?
So have you heard any of those? Have you ever said any of those? Probably. I know I have. So today we're talking about the phrase, guard your heart. It's one of those oft-used, misunderstood Christian phrases. But unlike some of the phrases in this little sketch, guard your heart is indeed from God's word. It's from Scripture. And it's located in the book we're studying this summer, Proverbs. Proverbs 4:23. So it's going to come up here. We're going to read 4:20 to 23 just to unpack this verse a little bit more. So let's read. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Well, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, as we've been learning all summer, are about a good father who's teaching his son the moral law of God. That is, the pursuit of wisdom and the fear of the Lord should be our highest goal in life. So in chapter 4, the good father continues to impart his wisdom, admonishing his son, as the verse says, to pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my instruction. Lean into wisdom. Always keep it in your sight and take it to heart. And then we get to the foundational wisdom nugget. And I venture to say it's a little more than a nugget, probably more like a brick of wisdom that is tucked in the middle of chapter 4. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So guard your heart is pretty mammoth, isn't it, in the middle there? But there's some pretty compelling words that surround that phrase. Above all else indicates high value. Everything you do flows from it, suggests far-reaching implications. Now, to really understand the importance of guarding your heart, however, it helps to have a good understanding of the heart that's talked about a lot in Proverbs. We sang about it lots this morning and throughout Scripture. In fact, it is found 826 times, to be exact, in Scripture. Here's just a few of the references, and I know you know lots more, but just a little number of them. Jesus declared that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And we talked a lot about this when we were doing our Resiliency Anchor Initiative. Remember that? He also taught, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's in Luke. And then the Apostle Paul prayed for the same thing, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in Ephesians. And again in Proverbs, the first few we're all probably very familiar with, we're commanded to trust in the Lord with all our heart and to hide God's word in our heart in Psalms. We refer to the heart a lot. In everyday conversation, we often talk about our heart, broken heart or full heart, a sad heart or a joyful heart. We're open-hearted or we're closed-hearted. We have a hard heart or a tender heart, troubled heart or peaceful heart, and the list goes on and on. And of course, we all know the little heart shape. Right? The little heart shape is the symbol of love that's everywhere. In fact, right in your little boxes, kids, you'll find one of these little squishy tensor hearts that you can squish. But I think what you should do is write our theme on it, guard your heart. So just write that, take a marker in your box and write on there, guard your heart. It has to be little because it's just a little heart. And if you can't write it, get your mom or dad to write it on there for you. And then you can take it with you and it'll be a good reminder all week. And then, of course, there's our biological heart, the one that beats in our chest. The heart in Proverbs and throughout the Bible refers to something a little different than our biological heart. But there are some interesting and I think some intentional similarities. The physical heart is an amazing organ. It's kind of like the engine room for your entire body. It's responsible for pumping oxygen-rich blood throughout our body, about 2,000 gallons every day. It covers every nook and cranny in the body. And oxygen keeps us alive. It's essential to our survival. A healthy heart beats 60 to 100 beats per minute through clear, plaque-free arteries, but our heart can be at risk when our diet is poor, if we don't exercise, if we smoke, or if we overeat or experience too much stress. But we can protect our biological heart by caring for it with healthy eating, physical activity, watching our weight, and reducing stress. It takes work to keep our heart healthy. Without a healthy heart, you cannot thrive. In fact, you struggle to survive. Well, in the same way your physical heart health is essential to life and needs protection and care, Proverbs 4:23 would suggest that our spiritual heart health is essential to life. And above all else, it needs attention and it needs care and nurture in order to thrive. But what exactly is this heart that is spoken about so often in Scripture? One commentary defines it as the center of one's inner life and orientation to God, from which a person does all their thinking and feeling and choosing. Another biblical scholar, Charles Ryrie, suggests that our heart is the truest expression of who we really are. And then Andy Stanley defines the heart in more specific terms, that mysterious, wonderful, confusing part of you that enables you to love and to laugh, fear, and experience life. So it's vital. And when we recognize how vital and foundational our spiritual heart is to our lives, how it's so connected to who we are and how we think and how we feel, we should understand the significance of guarding it with diligence and with intention. And then Proverbs 4:23 continues, "Guard your heart because everything you do flows from it." Our behaviors mirror our heart. What starts in our hearts will eventually show up in our behavior. In Matthew 5, verses 17 to 20, Jesus talks about the concept, this concept, when he's interacting with the religious leaders who are always criticizing people, and particularly the disciples, about breaking the traditions. In this case, they're complaining that the disciples are overlooking the ceremonial washing before they eat. And when the disciples ask Jesus, well, what is it? What's offended the Pharisees? And this is what he says. He says, from Matthew 5, 17 to 20, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." In effect, he's saying the thing that puts a person at odds with God's is not what goes in, but what comes out. It's what's going on the inside that defiles you. Your heart directly impacts your words and your actions. No surprise, then, that the heart is the sphere in which relationship happens, how we interact with others through words and actions. And it's the sphere in which relationships are broken. We know this. We've seen it in ourselves, maybe, or maybe in other people. Someone who blew up a career because of what they said. Someone who ruined a marriage because of their behavior. Someone who has alienated their children or kiboshed a relationship with their words and their actions. And if your words and actions dishonor others, then they dishonor God. What offends others offends God. So if everything we say and do originates from within our spiritual heart, then guarding our inner self is critical. There are four key heart issues or internal tensions that should bother us. They should light up our conscience and alert us to things that we need to attend to on the inside. And I'm very grateful to Andy Stanley for his insight on these in a series called Guardrails. Kids, in your box, there's a little page that has a Proverbs 4:23 verse on it, and you can track right with us on there. You'll see it. There's little stickers for the little one, and there's writing that the older ones can do. So follow along as we go. So the first one, the first internal tension that you should pay attention to is guilt. Guilt says, I owe you. I owe you something because I took something from you, and I'm just too afraid or too proud to admit it. I owe you an apology. I owe you the truth. I owe you an explanation. We get pretty good, actually, at managing guilt. We put walls up of inauthenticity and dishonesty. We keep secrets. And we try to alleviate the weight of the guilt that we're feeling. And then there's anger. Anger says, you owe me. You pay me or I'll pay you back. Anger might start as an isolated incident with someone, but very quickly it can erode into relationships, other relationships. I'm going to hold it over you and everyone who reminds me of you. Carrying anger eats you up inside. It leaves you resentful and bitter and often stuck. This summer we had a soccer camp, and several of you volunteered. Quite a number of people were volunteering. Rhonda Spence was part of our volunteer team, and she shared a story of an experience that illustrates this very clearly. So I'd like you to hear her tell it. Watch this.
When I was a young mom here in Cochrane, I played for the Cochrane Lady Rangers soccer, and I played both recreation and competitive. I loved the game. And what I loved most about it was just the team spirit and getting to know a lot of people. But that came to a very abrupt end because I had an accident. I injured my knee, had surgery, and the surgeon basically said, "That's it for you. Unless you want more injuries, you probably should give up soccer." So I did. Well, life went on, and about 5 years later, I was in a grocery store, and a lady recognized me. She came up to me and approached me and said, "Hey, you remember me?" And I'm like, "Sort of, I think so. From soccer." "Oh, yeah, I remember." And she started to tell a story, and it was a story about me and her playing against each other on opposing teams. And I noticed, as the story progressed, the anger in her voice started to intensify. It started slowly and getting worse and worse and almost to a seething anger. And so as the story went on, she basically said, "Yeah, we came together, we were going for the ball, both of us at the same time, and our shins collided, bang." Well, she was injured, was taken off the field. It didn't, I guess, look that bad at the time. I was fine. And she said, "You know what happened? The next day I went to the doctor. I had to have surgery, and that was the end of my soccer career." And as she was saying that, what I heard her say behind her actual voice, "I blame you, and it was your fault." She didn't actually say it, but her body language, her demeanor, and her seething anger towards me almost frightened me and scared me. I said, "I'm sorry, I had no idea. I'm sorry that happened to you." But when I said sorry, it didn't look like it did anything for her. And as I reflected on that story, walking away, I went, you know, I had a soccer injury. We both had the very same circumstances, but there was two very different outcomes. For 5 years, anger, resentment, just resonated, just seethed inside her for a human being, me, and I seen that come out. It was as fresh as the very moment that it happened, I think. And so I was thinking, man, could you imagine if she could have figured out how to forgive? She would have left 5 years of that anger behind. And I'm wondering about you guys out there. Is there a situation like that where there's something brewing, a deep-seated anger, that forgiveness could actually help?
The next one is greed. Greed says, "I owe me." Greed is a little more subtle. You may not recognize it initially. It's when prospering yourself is your priority, when this becomes the filter through which you make decisions. You may feel sorry for someone, but not sorry enough to write a check. You may have empathy, but something in you just can't justify helping. When you like your stuff before people, pay attention. That's a heart problem. Jealousy says, "Life owes me. He's got what I deserve. Therefore, I don't like him." Jealousy at its ugliest is when I secretly celebrate someone else's failure. Oh, ugly. That should set off alarm bells. So what do you do when you feel it or see one of those heart issues in you? Or maybe when someone else sees them in you? What preventative or corrective action can you take to make your heart healthy? With guilt, it's confession. And it's good to confess to God, but not just to him. He already knows. Confession that heals the most is confessing to someone in your life who took something from you. It means you'll have to swallow your pride, you'll have to muster up courage, and confess what you are carrying to the person you hurt. And be prepared, because when you confess, chaos may happen initially. But peace will come inside, and peace will set you free. And then, as Rhonda was sharing, For anger, it's forgiveness. It's acknowledging what was taken from you and saying, you know what? You don't owe me anymore. I'm canceling the debt and I'm letting you off. And if you feel a little bad about letting them off, remember that you're also letting yourself off by not allowing anger to affect your relationships or fester inside. I will not allow anger to rule me anymore. And then how do you counter greed? Well, you give. You're generous. You find a precious thing and you sell it and you give the money away. In so doing, you are saying, I will not allow stuff to control me anymore. I will not allow things to become a priority over people. And then jealousy, that's life owes me, which suggests that maybe God owes me. God owes you something that he didn't give you, but he gave to someone else. And that's just not fair. The truth is, God can take our situation, whatever it is, our brokenness, our suffering, and he can make things happen when we humbly receive what he has given us and we offer it back to him. And then we can celebrate what God has given us and what God has given others. And when we're tempted to compare our bad fortune to someone else's good fortune, the best thing to do is to celebrate, now catch this, out loud. Celebrate out loud. Even when it's hard to congratulate someone who got that job promotion that you wanted. Or kids, to celebrate someone who was given the Nintendo Switch that you've been wanting for months. These heart exercises are easy to do, right? No problem? Not for most people, certainly not for me. It involves changing our heart, changing old habits and patterns. And that's hard. That's hard work. We need Jesus' help, absolutely, to change our hearts. The familiar words of Jesus ring true. Without me, you can do nothing. But then Dallas Willard reminds us that Jesus' words must be balanced by the insight that if we do nothing, it will certainly be without him. So, it's taking a step, and then another step, and then another step. And like Proverbs 4, the later verses 26 and 27 say, keeping your eyes straight ahead, watching your step, and soon the road will stretch out smooth before you, leaving evil in the dust. Last week, I had the privilege of attending a memorial service for a dear friend. Her name was Carol. But most of us affectionately called her Grandma Carol. She adopted us many into her life. She came to know Christ later in her life and found incredible joy and fulfillment in her walk with Christ. And she had a very messy life circumstance, family circumstance. She was, in spite of that though, she was one of the most loving, joy-filled, positive representatives of Christ that I have ever met. Carol and I would often have spiritual talks, and one time she told me about a shift that had been transformational in her walk with Christ. Her greatest desire was that her husband and her kids and her grandkids would all experience that same life-changing faith in Christ that she had. And so she faithfully prayed, and she shared her faith to them in her words and in her actions. But nothing seemed to happen, particularly within her husband. So over the years, it was frustrating and disappointing, and issues of the heart started to seep in, stealing her joy and leaving her feeling resentment towards her husband and even towards God. At a woman's retreat, she was challenged to change her thinking. Instead of praying for God to help her affect change in her husband, she started to invite God to make a change in her heart. She chose to release the resentment and trust God for her husband's salvation without judgment or expectation. She would wait on God and simply love unconditionally. Carol shared with me of how that changed everything in her relationship with her husband and within her. Guarding her heart against resentment and choosing forgiveness and unconditional love played out in her joy, her kindness, and her testimony. She truly had a healthy, abundant heart that flowed into everything she did and everyone she encountered. And her influence was massive. At the memorial service, the fruit of years of prayer and faith lived and loved was so apparent. Her family and friends shared stories of her unquenchable joy of life, her unconditional love, and her unwavering faith. So how about you? Have you considered the wisdom of the Proverbs? Guard your heart. I am a children's pastor, right? Guard your heart. Need a little prop. Maybe your heart, maybe you haven't paid much attention to your spiritual heart. So maybe it's time to check your heart, to take your pulse. It's handy, isn't it? Any heart issues that are alerting you? Guilt, anger, resentment, greed, or jealousy? Maybe this is the time to take action, to make an action plate, an action plan. What heart exercise do you need to do to prevent or correct your heart issues, to guard your heart? I have attached online beside the live stream a follow-up resource that has some good questions that you might want to reflect on as you spend time with God this week. And if you're here in the auditorium, I just made a few paper copies. They're at the back at the registration desk. It's just a little helpful guide as maybe this week in your quiet time you're doing you're kind of checking your heart health, and maybe it'll help you start to navigate some next steps as you move forward. And you know, the beautiful, beautiful outcome when you guard your heart is a clean heart and a right spirit within, a heart that honors God and honors others, and a full, abundant life. Now, don't confuse that with trouble-free. Probably not trouble-free. In fact, not trouble-free. But free from the heart issues that weigh you down. Above all else, friends, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us so unconditionally in spite of all of our weaknesses. Would you forgive us for the things that we do that hurt others and in turn hurt you? This week, would you help us to identify and address those areas in our heart that keep us from experiencing the abundance of a healthy heart, that keep us from fully enjoying relationship with others and a relationship with you? Thank you that with you there is no condemnation. Thank you for your forgiveness and the peace that you bring. You are truly a wise and loving Father. Amen.